And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Five animal hearts laid out in a pattern and surrounded by a circle of candles have been found at a beauty spot as part of an apparent Satanist ritual. Photos show the pieces of meat laid on top of a triangulation point following an elaborate ceremony at the top of Stagbury Hill in the New Forest. A member of the public discovered the hearts and cleaned them up before reporting it to the police, who told locals they are patrolling the area in the national park. The grim act took place close to a church where a dead cat was recently found by congregation members hanging horribly from a flagpole, forcing the vicar to issue a warning about the prospect of witchcraft. In December, the vicar of the nearby church in Bramshaw, Hants, warned of sinister goings-on after the bodies of dead animals were discovered deliberately left there. The Reverend David Bacon raised the prospect of witchcraft after a cat was found by congregation members hanging from the flagpole just before Christmas. This followed the discovery of a dead fox on the doorstep of the 12th century church just a few weeks before. Following the latest hilltop discovery, one Facebook user commented, "Weird, connected to the cat strung up to the flagpole and the dead fox left on the church steps." Another said, "Very odd, probably linked to the strange things left at the church recently." While a fellow commentator remarked, "Perhaps the idiots thought the trig point was a sacred druid shrine or something." Another said, "Could have poison in it, some strange ritual followed by a witch emoji." Reverend Bacon said last year that the group of ladies who found the cat when they came to clean St. Peter's Church in Bramshaw and get it ready for Christmas had been left unsettled. In 2019, the same New Forest village was terrorised by suspected Satanists who stabbed sheep and sprayed them with pentagrams and graffitied the Reverend Bacon's 12th century church with the same occult markings. The vicar said he isn't sure who's behind this, saying it could be people just angry at the world, or it could be people concerned with witchcraft. He said the cat, rather horribly, was found hanging from the flagpole. The fox was left on the doorstep, but it's very unlikely it died there naturally. The cat was found by a group of ladies on the Monday. They were coming in to clean the church for Christmas, but found it on the black flagpole. It was really upsetting for them. Every so often we get things like this happening. It makes everybody feel very uncomfortable. I can't say definitively if it's linked to the sheep killings from a few years ago. We have no idea what motivated this. Are they just angry at life in general, or against the church, or is it linked to witchcraft? I can't say. But the sheep killings were much more sophisticated. The dead fox felt a lot less organised. It's really unsettling and sinister for everyone. We're not sure what will happen next, if anything. I have no idea why it's happening in our area. If it's connected to witchcraft, then the New Forest has been linked to witchcraft for hundreds of years. But it could be just random acts of nastiness. It's all pretty horrible for those who find the dead animals. A spokesperson for Hampshire Police said, "We received a report of meat found on the top of Stagbury Hill with candles placed in a circle around it. This was spotted by members of the public around 7:45 a.m. on the 13th of January. The items were disposed of before the report was made. We have conducted inquiries and will continue to patrol the area." Alternative religions, including Satanism, paganism and shamanism, have seen an explosion in the number of followers in the decade between the 2011 and 2021 censuses. Millions have ditched Christianity, mostly for no religion, but the number of Satanists in England and Wales has more than doubled from 2011 to 2021, from 1,893 in 2011 and rising by 3,161, that's 167%, to 5,054 followers in 2021. The highest number of Satanists are in the southeast, rising by 165% to 795 in the region in 2021, according to the latest census. Head of the UK chapter of the Global Order of Satan, Andy Diabolicus, said, "Proud of the rise in followers marked on the census after efforts to encourage Satanists. Followers say the religion is built on the self and in carrying out Satan's work with humanity by challenging authoritarianism and injustice through acts of compassion and the practice of empathy. Despite common misconceptions, Satanists do not actually worship the devil as they are atheists and do not believe in the supernatural. We revere ourselves as individuals capable of the greatest human expression of compassion and empathy, the Global Order of Satan's FAQ explains. Satanism's follower numbers in England and Wales have been overtaken by shamanism, which had less than 1,000 followers in 2011, but saw a more than 12-fold growth in a decade. The healing-focused spiritual practice had just 650 followers in 2011, but this shot up to 7,889 in 2021, according to the census. A lockdown sex party at a cathedral is being investigated by the Vatican as part of an inquiry regarding a former bishop, it has been reported. Bishop Robert Byrne resigned as the Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle in December. However, in a rare intervention, the Roman Catholic Church is reportedly examining the circumstances of his resignation amid allegations that a sex party was held during a coronavirus lockdown at St Mary's Cathedral, Newcastle. There is no suggestion that Bishop Byrne was either at the alleged party in a priest's living quarters next to the cathedral or was aware of it. However, the Archbishop of Liverpool, the Most Reverend Malcolm McMahon, who is leading the investigation, has been asked to prepare an in-depth report into the events leading up to Bishop Byrne's resignation, according to a letter reported on by the Sunday Times. The Archbishop said in a letter sent to priests in the diocese that he was asked by the Dicastery for Bishops, a Vatican department that answers directly to the Pope, to conduct the review, and that it would look at past and present clergy, volunteers and staff, as well as focus on culture and governance arrangements around the safeguarding process. It is highly unusual for the Dicastery of Bishops, which nominates bishops and monitors their performances worldwide, to become involved in such investigations directly. Father Michael McCoy, who was dean during lockdown, is alleged to have approached a number of worshippers asking if they would like to attend a party at the cathedral, a source told the newspaper, which reportedly prompted a number of complaints. However, Canon McCoy took his own life, aged 57, in April 2021, days after he discovered Northumbria Police Child and Adult Protection Department was investigating him after a non-recent allegation of child sex abuse was made against him. Last week, the Catholic Safeguarding Standards Agency, the CSSA, confirmed that it launched an official independent unscheduled safeguarding audit and safeguarding review in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle. Steve Ashley, its chief executive, added that its independent recommendations would be made public as soon as possible. Yazir Afzal, OBE chair, CSSA and a former chief crown prosecutor, said the review is being supported by the Archbishop of Liverpool. He added, "Our job is to audit and review safeguarding in Catholic Church bodies. We are now active in a safeguarding review in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle. Naturally, we cannot yet speak to the detail of the investigatory work, which is ongoing, but there should be no doubt that we will leave no stone unturned when it comes to keeping people safe, and this includes investigating the safeguarding culture in Hexham and Newcastle." A spokesperson for the Hexham and Newcastle Diocese said that it had previously invited the CSSA to conduct a review following the resignation of Bishop Byrne in December 2022, and that prior to Bishop Byrne's resignation in mid-December, it also self-referred to the Charity Commission. They added, "The Diocese will continue to work productively and swiftly with both organisations, learning where it needs to, not from rumours and misinformation, but from the facts and evidence provided. The Diocese remains fully committed to safeguarding as an integral part of the life and the ministry of the Church, and to providing assurance that its safeguarding procedures are appropriate and as they need to be." An Archdiocese of Liverpool spokesman added, "Archbishop Malcolm McMahon, as a Metropolitan Archbishop and Apostolic Administrator of the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle, has been asked by the Dicastery for Bishops in Rome to prepare an in-depth report into the events leading to Bishop Byrne's resignation. Archbishop Mahon and the Diocese and Trustees of Hexham and Newcastle have invited the CSSA to review diocesan safeguarding, and this work started on the 19th of January. The Archbishops of Canterbury and York have called for tax rises to help fix the unethical social care crisis. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby, and the Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, commissioned their own staff to look into the sector last year. In report published this week, they have issued a series of proposals, including for taxes to fix the social care crisis in order to avoid the drag on economy. They also warned that a failure to tackle issues within the embattled sector would amount to collective sin. The Church of England leaders also recommended that social care be a universal entitlement, for means testing to be scrapped, and the introduction of a social care covenant akin to an NHS constitution or Wigan deal, because government alone lacks the wider vision to fix the crisis. After criticising the government's record on social care last year, the archbishops commissioned their own bishops, clergy and staff to look at the sector, in which the national debate is often narrowly focused, short-term in outlook and lacking in wider vision. The report, entitled Care and Support Reimagined, a National Care Covenant for England, warns that a failure to tackle the issues facing the sector include rising costs, longer waiting times, racial and disability inequalities, and staff recruitment would amount to inaction as a collective sin. The Archbishop of Canterbury said, "This report gives me hope that we can rise to the challenge of fixing our broken social care system." The Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, added that it outlines a new vision for our society, where we learn to be interdependent with one another, where I thrive because you do. The Archbishop of Canterbury said the report has given him hope that the crisis of social care can be resolved. The Commission's report comes just days after census data revealed 5 million people, including children as young as 5, provide unpaid care to people with long-term health conditions or problems related to old age. A further 1.5 million people provide more than 50 hours a week of unpaid care as the embattled sector struggles to cope with the increasing needs and demands. Staff recruitment and retention in the sector has also been exacerbated by the pandemic. There are currently 165,000 vacancies across the social care sector in England, and average pay for carers is just £9.50 an hour. The report concluded that, in looking at history of our social care reform, it is clear that there has been a collective failure to act, not only on the part of government, but all of us are complicit in allowing the situation to have gone unresolved for so long. Sin is a form of cognitive blindness, and so people find themselves living in systems of sin without actually knowing that they are doing so. Therefore, sin is systemic. It becomes a shared illusion that certain things are okay and just fine, which they are if you are inside and sharing in the illusion. But those on the outside looking in can see that something is seriously wrong. In April 21, the Archbishops tasked their Commission on Re-imaging Care to develop a radical and inspiring vision for how to tackle problems within the sector, drawing on Christian theology. The authors of the report were the Commission's co-chairs, the Bishop of Carlisle, the Right Reverend James Newcombe, who is also the lead bishop for health and social care in the House of Lords, and Dr. Anna Dixon, MBE, the former chief executive of the Centre for Ageing Better. Asked during a press conference how they expected to pay for their vision, Dr. Dixon said that while it needs to be through taxation, we are not economists. She added, "We think it's a political choice and ultimately a fiscal choice, both about how much is allocated to care and how the funding is raised. But we are clear that you know we are talking about investing in this, and it is an investment because the benefits ultimately will flow back. It's a big drag on the economy." Would you like to be woken by the sun streaming in through a stained glass window, falling on your makeshift bed between a row of pews? Camping in church, known as champing, is flourishing, figures show. The organisers of a scheme to open churches to holidaymakers, hikers and pilgrims said they had their most successful year ever and are planning to more than double capacity. The churches offer bedding, basic amenities such as water and lavatories. Some team up with farmers to provide breakfast and pubs to offer dinner. Many churches desperately need money to maintain their buildings, many of which have big repair bills. Aging and dwindling congregations are no longer able to meet these bills through donations alone. Many people are also looking for cheaper holidays in the UK because of the cost of living crisis, said Guy Foreman, head of enterprise at the Church's Conservation Trust, the CCT, which launched Champing in 2016. The Trust's annual accounts show that 2021 to 22 was the best ever year for bookings for Champing, which featured in the Christmas special of Inside No. 9, the BBC comedy. It says, this year's Champing has been particularly successful, showing the strongest performance since launch in 2016, generating just over £86,000 of net revenue against 573 bookings. The CCT would like to expand the Champing franchise operation. It offers a good alternative channel for community groups to generate their own income to support their historic place of worship. The CCT includes 22 churches among its registered sites, mostly Church of England churches, but also some in Wales and Scotland, and it hopes to increase this number to 50, Foreman said. Staycations and unique experiences are a growth area within the holiday sector, he said. People want something different and unique that they can talk about and experience they can treasure, particularly in a cost of living crisis. Something different, not that expensive, and local is really valuable, and it's a low impact. Quite often the average stay is generally just a night. Others hop from church to church. We link up our churches on walking routes and pilgrimages. Quite a lot of people in the modern world have a desire to switch off and reconnect and do something spiritual. Champing is a really good way of doing that. Prices start at £49 per night for adults and £25 a night for children. Many churches in the scheme are no longer used for weekly worship, but only for key festivals such as Christmas and Easter. And finally, Pastor Jamie was giving the children's message during church. He gathered all the children around him and gave a brief lesson before dismissing them for children's church. On this particular Sunday, Pastor Jamie was using squirrels for an object lesson on industry and preparation. He started out by saying, "I'm going to describe something, and I want you to raise your hand when you know what it is." The children nodded eagerly. "This thing lives in trees and eats nuts." No hands went up. "And it's grey and has a long bushy tail." The children were looking at each other, but still no hands were raised. "And it jumps from branch to branch and chatters and flips its tail when it's excited." Finally, one little boy tentatively raised his hand. Pastor Jamie breathed a sigh of relief and called on him. "Well," said the boy, "I know the answer must be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.